Good morning. Happy New Year. So thankful for you. So thankful that I'm spending this first Sunday of the new year with you. So thankful that we can spend it together and we can approach the throne of God boldly. That's what we're here to do. We are very serious about that, about our worship, but we're also here to have fun and to enjoy those things. I say that we're here to have fun. The purpose of being here is not to have fun. The purpose of being here is to boldly approach God's throne, to worship Him, to give Him His due. But I think that worshiping God can be exciting, don't you? I think that worshiping God can be something pleasant, and we can smile about it, and we can laugh with one another, and I appreciate those of you who do enjoy this time together, and I hear you laughing, and I hear you crying with one another and spending time with each other. What a lovely sound, and what a lovely occasion that we can have this time together. Today is, as I said, the first day of the new year, and as I suggested last week, and as I've been suggesting for some time, we're going to announce our new theme today. So whenever we think about our theme, we have to try to puzzle it out a little, and I've got to really think about it. So if you remember, a few months ago, I went out of town for a couple of days, and I really thought about it. I thought about what we were going to do. I prayed about it. I asked you to pray for me. I asked you to give me some suggestions. I focused on this a great deal, and we could have went a number of ways with this theme. It's all of the lessons this next year are going to center in one way or another around this theme. And I had a few suggestions. In fact, a few of you suggested I should hijack some jingles from some of the restaurants that we hear. We, of course, think about McDonald's, you know, ba-da-ba-da-da. I'm loving it, right? And, you know, I think about our mission, and our mission is to love God, right? The first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So if I really wanted to, as it was suggested, I could have made this year's theme, ba-da-da-da-da. I'm loving Him. We could have, couldn't we? Right? Or we could have went a different direction. You know, of course, Red Robin, the one that has the bird walking around when you visit and you have kids. What's the theme there? Their jingle? Red Robin. Yum. Right? That's their theme, all right? But I think about what Jesus said over in John chapter 4 after the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, when we see that interaction. Afterward, his disciples said, come, eat, right? Eat. You're hungry. And he said, I've got food you don't know about. And he said there in John chapter 4 and verse 32, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Right? This is my food. So we could say, God's service, yum. Couldn't we have? Because obviously Jesus said, that's my food, you know, and He wouldn't have ate something that wasn't tasty, so it was something that was pleasant for Him. I always do those things that are pleasing to the Father. So we could have done that if we wanted to, but ultimately I chose as our theme for this year, take the next step. Take the next step. I don't have a jingle. I don't have any tune for it. Maybe by the end of the year I will. I don't know. You can work on that if you'd like to. It says in Psalms 37 verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. All right? So the steps of a man are established by the Lord. I'm encouraging you this year, with all of our lessons this year, I'm encouraging you to take the next step. I'm encouraging you here. We've got to have a little training session if you'll bear with me. All this year, I'm encouraging you to take the next. All right, I won't do that every time. I won't do this. Oh, sorry about that. I'm encouraging you this year to take the next. All right, good. So that's what we're going to do this year. We've had others in the past, obviously. And the reason that we do this is because you might not remember all of the lessons, but you remember some of the themes and you remember some of the ideas behind that. Whenever we said, yes, Lord, yes, you remember that we say yes to Jesus. We affirm Him. We do what He wants. Enter to worship, leave to serve. We're people who love to serve. Same thing last year. We said live for Christ, right? You remember, that's fresh on your mind. That was our goal, was to give him our very lives. So we're going to spend the whole year with this theme, but if you'll check out the bulletin board out in the foyer, what is there and what my plan is to do is to have the next 4 or 5 weeks' lessons up there, a little, very brief synopsis and the title. So what you can do with that is to look at it as you come in or as you go out, and you can say, hey, I want to hear a lesson about the patience of God and about our patience with one another, which is what we're talking about next week. So you can say, I'm going to make sure to be there. Hopefully you want to be here every time, but you'll say, I want to be there, and maybe this is a good lesson for my child or for my mom or my dad or my neighbor, and maybe you can invite them as well. So if you'll use that, then maybe that will be beneficial to you, and I'll try to keep up with that this year. Keep me on task if you'd like to. But today, as John was already mentioning, and I'm saying all of this to get to our point for today and the whole idea of what we're doing this year, the idea today is that taking the next step is an idea. Part of that is it's a journey, right? What I want to do is compare the Christian life and the Christian walk to a journey. Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14, we read it very briefly last week, but it says this, I have already, or not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to a paraphrase that I developed on my own, of course. This isn't verbatim from what the Greek says or anything else, but this is a paraphrase, and I don't think it does it injustice. I'm focusing on one thing, Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 13. Moving past what I've done and taking the next step on the journey. What do you think about that? I'm focusing on one thing. I'm moving past the things that I've done. I'm forgetting what lies behind, and I'm focusing on taking the next step on the journey. How is our Christianity like a journey? Three ways that I want to discuss with you this morning. Number one, like a journey, Christianity has a dawn. It has a beginning. There is a genesis of our Christianity. It begins in our life in one way or another. Obviously, there is one way that we do that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we become a Christian in one way according to the New Testament. But we see in all of our lives that it does have a beginning point. One can't have always been a Christian. Individuals say that from time to time. I've always been a Christian. I've always attended church. I've always been someone who is named by the name of Christ. But there was something before it, you see? There was before our Christianity perhaps a time of ignorance, wasn't there? Ignorance is not a bad word. To say someone or something is ignorant means that they just don't understand. I'm ignorant on a number of topics. I get in my car, I put the key in the ignition, I turn the ignition on, and then I turn it just a bit more, and hopefully the engine turns. Now, some of you know exactly how that works, and you can describe how all of those things with the battery and the carburetor or fuel injector, how all of those things work together. I can't. You see, I am ignorant of that. I don't know. I don't understand. Before Christianity, all of us were ignorant of Christianity. At one point in our life, we were ignorant of Christianity. Sometimes you have to go back all the way till when you were 2 or 3 or 4 years old, but at some point we were ignorant of God's plan for our life, you see. For others, you know, we see that it was, they've known about it all of their life. For some people, they go into adulthood and they don't know much about Jesus. They were ignorant for a long time, but the New Testament talks about the time before one obeyed as a time of ignorance. Listen, in Acts 17 and verse 30, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. So at one point, your ignorance God overlooked. It was okay for you to be ignorant. You could have a law to yourself, perhaps, as Romans says, but now he calls all men everywhere to repent and to become Christians. We go on in 1 Peter 1 and verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. You see? Over in Acts chapter 3, whenever the apostles there are talking about how they crucified Jesus, how they killed him, how they went through the mock trial, he says in Acts 3 and verse 17, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. You see?
So before we become Christians, at some point we're ignorant about Christianity. You can ask some of the young children here. You can ask Benjamin, perhaps. You can ask him others about how to obey the gospel. You could tell them, ask them what they need to do, and perhaps they could tell you some of the plan of salvation. But the question is, do they understand it? In some ways, of course, they are ignorant because they don't understand that they have been lost, or that they are lost, or that they're sentenced to hell if they have sin in their life. Of course, children don't have sin in their life, but at one point we realize right from wrong and that we have to obey the gospel. We have to get forgiveness of that sin. So sometimes there were times of ignorance before our Christianity. That it has a beginning. And before that, perhaps we were ignorant. Before that, we had a time of idolatry. Now, you've got to remember, do I still have your attention? What we're doing this morning is comparing Christianity to a journey. That's what John said just a moment ago. He referred to the journey of his whole life. I'm referring this morning to the journey of our Christianity. Our journey goes beyond that of our journey of our whole life, but Christianity in and of itself is a journey because every journey has a beginning, and we're going to go on and see more about that in a second. But before that, before we become a Christian, we have a time of idolatry. Idolatry is simply putting anything ahead of God. You can have good things, wholesome things that are idols. Your job, work is a good thing, isn't it? Providing for your family is a wonderful thing. Your family itself is a wonderful thing. Going to church is a wonderful thing, but if you put going to church above your actual relationship with Jesus, then there's a problem with that. We have to understand that certain things that are good and wholesome can be idolatry. And before you became a Christian, you were in idolatry. Remember what it says over just a bit further in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and following. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Do you notice what it said there in about verse 19? That their God is their belly? They make what they want and their desires their idol. So we realize that it has a genesis, it has a dawn, it has a beginning because there was something before it and that there was something that started it as well. Something before it and something started it. Colossians 1 verses 13 and 14, Ray mentioned this passage just a few minutes ago. It says, we have been transferred, delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we have been transferred into it, right? Something transferred you into the kingdom. That's obedience to the gospel, of course, and we see what that is in 1 Corinthians 15. We understand how to obey the gospel from passages like Matthew 10 and Acts 2 and Acts 16 and other places as well. But we see that there was some point that began it and something started it as well. And maybe it wasn't just your obedience to the gospel. Something drove you to understand and to learn more about Jesus. Maybe it was a tragedy in your life. Have you ever heard of anyone in the past who has had something negative happen to them or has had something negative happened to someone who is close to them, and they say, well, I'm uncertain what's going to happen to me when I die, so I'm going to look a bit further into this Jesus thing, into this Christianity thing. So a tragedy happens, and they decide, I want to do something. Maybe an epiphany happens, maybe with that tragedy, you see. Maybe it hits you that your life as it stands is not as perfect as you may think it is. You know, rich people sometimes understand that money isn't everything. Gym rats sometimes understand that muscles aren't everything. Students sometimes understand that facts and intellectualism is not everything. You see? So what we're saying here is that whenever you're in that situation, you're striving for more money, you're striving for more muscles, or you're striving for more knowledge, more intelligence, you realize that's not everything, and you have an epiphany that there's something more. There's something beyond this, and you look into Christianity, you look into what the Bible says, and that is the beginning of your journey. You obey the gospel a bit later, but this is the first part. In fact, the writer of Ecclesiastes says something very similar to that. He talks about money, and he talks about intellectualism, and he talks about all these things and building projects. All of these things aren't enough, you see? And maybe it was an invitation that began your journey. And we're getting to some more stuff here in just 1 second, so listen to me for just a few moments. Maybe it was an invitation. You know, Jesus used invitations. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What about John 7 and verse 37? Jesus, on the last day of the feast, stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What about Revelation 22 and verse 17? The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Maybe we're here, maybe we're on our journey because of a personal invitation from someone. It has a beginning. Before we were Christians, we had some ignorance. Perhaps we had an epiphany. Perhaps something happened, a tragedy. Perhaps anything happened to provoke us to look a little bit further. Perhaps it was an invitation. But we see all of those things lead to a beginning, a dawn, a genesis, the beginning of your walk and your journey with Christianity. Do you see the similarities between a journey and your Christianity, that there is a beginning? But more than that, there is a goal. Whenever I thought about these points and thought about this lesson for today, I couldn't help but think about J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Now, I like that book and those books and I like those movies. However, some of you might not like some of that genre, but maybe you didn't understand that Tolkien wrote these things as kind of a parallel between Christianity and the journey of Christianity. Do you know that at the very beginning of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, something provoked these individuals on this journey? A wizard comes, and then all sorts of dwarves come in the Bilbo Baggins story and The Hobbit. And then after a bit, we see that The Hobbit leaves his home, the Shire, and goes and heads toward the lonely mountains to fight Smaug and to fight the dragon, you see? Not only that, we see in the other one, in Lord of the Rings, that Frodo, Gandalf finds that he has this ring of power. And please don't let me make you think that I'm too geeky with this, but I want you to see the similarities. There was some similarities written here. That's what Tolkien wanted to do, make a parallel between the Christian journey. There is a beginning to it. There is a genesis, do you see? There is something that started it. In fact, what we see is that Bilbo said, Frodo said in the second one, before you came along, we Bagginses were well thought of. We were respectable, you see? Something started it. They were ignorant beforehand of the lonely mountains. They were ignorant of the one ring that ruled them all. They were ignorant of all of these things. You see, something started them on the journey. And then not only that, they had a goal. They had to get to the lonely mountains. They had to take this treasure from Smaug. They had to destroy this dragon. They had to destroy the one ring. You see, they had to do all of these things. Do you see the similarities? There was a beginning, but before this journey of theirs, of Bilbo's and of Frodo and Sam's began, we see that they were living before that, that there was something before that. There was a beginning to their journey, and there was a goal at the end of their journey. Now, let me ask you a question. What would the literature be like if that was all there was? If there was only the beginning and the end with nothing in between? Be a short book, right? It would be a short movie. But what we see is, not only is there a beginning, a dawn, not only is there a goal, there is a dash in between. Our goal, of course, as Christians, is heaven. Adam mentioned that just a few moments ago. We want to get to heaven, and we're doing everything we can to get to heaven, not because we're going to earn getting to heaven, but because we are trying our very best to accept the grace of God. Do you know sometimes accepting a gift is a hard thing? Somebody once tried to give me a fish tank. I didn't have a truck at the time. I have a truck now. But they tried to give me a fish tank, and I had to find some transportation. I had to get someone to help me move it. I had to find some way to load it up. I had all of these things I had to do in order to accept this free gift. We're giving this fish tank to you, Daniel, a large fish tank. I had to find a place to put it. I had to make a room in my house to put it. I had to get water. I had to get fish to put in it in order to accept this gift. Now, that's the way Christianity is to some degree. In order to accept the gift that is the cleansing blood of the Son of Jesus or Son of God, the Jesus Christ, in order to accept the gift, we've got to make room for him. We've got to prepare our hearts. We've got to prepare the soil. We've got to do all of these things. Does that make sense? That's what we're doing. We're not earning our way to heaven. We're preparing ourselves to receive the gift, and we can receive more and more and more, or we could, as we read even last week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, quench the Spirit. You see? We can say, no, we don't want these things. We're not going to do anything to prepare ourselves to be more like your Son, God. We're not going to do anything to prepare ourselves for a heaven. Heaven is a place that's prepared for you if you are prepared for it. That's what it says in John 14 about it being a place prepared for us. For if I'm going on, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So like Frodo, like Bilbo, we have a beginning of our journey and we have a goal. The beginning is when we hear about Jesus, when we study about Jesus, when we obey Jesus, when we become Christians by imitating his death, burial, and resurrection, obeying the gospel, and the goal is over there in heaven. But again, church, there's this dash in between. This is the journey that we're talking about. Many of you have attended funerals that I've preached. There's something that I do at almost every funeral that I preach, and it's not because I'm lazy and don't want to design another funeral sermon because I have to change them every time, but I do it because it's a really great idea and a really great thought that I want people to realize at the funeral. It's a poem called The Dash. I want to read it for you this morning if you'll let me. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on his tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of his birth and spoke of that date with tears, but he said what mattered most of all was the dash between the years. That's what we're saying this morning. And you've heard this before if you've heard me preach these sermons, but it's so valuable. There's this dash in between the beginning and the end. That dash represents, the poem says, all the time that he spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved him know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So when your eulogy's being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spend your dash? The dash is the important part. The beginning and the end, those are milestones, but the middle has these triumphs, has these peaks, and it has these failures, these valleys. The triumphs are when we serve and when we learn and when we save others and when we overcome. The valleys are when we fail and when we sin. Peter sinned. He sinned whenever Jesus went to the cross because he said, I don't even know that man. He sinned later whenever he sided with the Judaizers. Paul called him out on it. Paul said, I do those things that I don't want to do. We see that we fail. It says in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. So we mess up. If you say you have no sin, you make God a liar. If you say you've never sinned, you are a liar and you make God a liar, it says in 1 John chapter 1. Do you see? So there are these peaks where we do wonderful things and when we have these highs, but there's these valleys as well, and together they make us grow. We grow through those things. Please listen to me this morning. Listen just for a moment. This is going to set the theme for the rest of the year. This is why I chose it's a journey for the theme of this year, take the next step, right? That's why I chose it. If it's a journey, then we need to continue on. We have to continue on. If we want to get to the goal, this is what a Christian does. A Christian doesn't stay where they began. In fact, Paul writes a few times in the Gospels or in the letters, he says, you are babies in Christ still. You ought to be eating meaty things. You ought to be eating solid food, but you're still the bottle. You're still drinking milk. All you can do is eat this mush. You need something more. You're on baby food when you should be eating steak and potatoes or tofu and vegetables. You see? This is what you should be eating, but you haven't taken the next step. You see? This is where you start, but we're wanting to get over there. A Christian doesn't stay over here. A Christian moves over there. You ought to be teachers at this time, he said. You ought to be making your way toward the goal. That's what he's saying there in Philippians chapter 3. I press on. Many of you are individuals who have taken several steps. from the beginning toward the end. You've grown. You've moved. You've progressed. But what we're saying this year, what I'm encouraging you this year, is to take the next step. See? And there's so many ways that we can do that. 51 more Sundays this year after today. 51 ways and methods and things that can help us on our journey. This dash in between the dawn and the goal, it's going to make us better. It's going to make us better if we allow it. That's what it says in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If they try to get the impurities out of gold and silver and other precious metals, how much more precious are you to God? He's going to try to get all those impurities out so he can present you pure and blameless and without fault, you see? He's trying to make us better through this dash, this span, this gap between the dawn and the goal. That's what we're working on this year. That's where some of you have to be. Some of you perhaps are over here before the dawn. You're here trying your very best to inch your way into Christianity. There's a way for you to do that. The Bible makes clear. But this is the beginning, and you have to know this. Jesus says you count the cost. You count how many soldiers you have before you go into battle. You count how much money you have before you start building something. And let me tell you, without any equivocation whatsoever, that this journey is worth it. Whatever it costs you, everything that it costs you, because it does cost you everything, this journey is worth it to get to the goal that is heaven, because you're there with Jesus, because you're not in hell, because you're there praising him, because you're there with the people who love you, because you have no tears, because you have all of these wonderful things, because it's such a huge blessing, but you've got to start it. It's going to cost you something, but it's worth it. It's worth it. I like the song, and this is where we'll end today. Please listen. I like the song about God still working on us. Do you know that song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon the heart. Don't judge her yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. That's what he's doing with that dash. In the mirror of his word, reflections that I see make me wonder why he never gave up on me. He loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter and I'm the clay. I am in this journey. I'm between the goal and the dawn, but I'm taking the next step. Pray with me. Father God, you bless us so much. You've illuminated our life, and so often what we do with that illumination is we keep it within ourselves, but Father, we're praying and begging this year that you would encourage us to let it out, to tell others about your Son and about the hope that we have, that we would take the next step on this journey toward heaven. We know you've got that promise for us. We know that's the goal. We know as Frodo and Bilbo and others headed toward their goal, that they went through difficulties, they went through triumphs, but all those things made them who they need to be. We remember all the individuals who toward the end of their life, through all of the things that they went through, we remember how they've been made better. And Father, we know that was you. And Father, what we want to do and what we're asking you to help us to do this morning is to take the next step to make us better, to make us the people you want us to be. Father, bless this congregation. Bless us as we're trying very hard to be the people you want us to be this year. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We offer the invitation every Sunday morning. If you are before the dawn of your journey and you want to begin your journey, you haven't become a Christian, today's the day. Make it known. Let us help you, perhaps publicly, as we stand and as we sing.